good evening to all of you. Warm welcome. It's lovely to see you in church this evening. If you want a copy of the notices and you don't have one, please do take a copy before you leave. You'll see some at the entrances and exits to the building, and everyone else, I think, has them by email. Let's stand and worship the living God together, in whose name we gather. We're going to sing three songs together. Light has dawned and ever shall blaze, and then Jesus at your name, and then finally overwhelmed by love. Let's stand and worship our good God together.
Thank you.
Friends, and let's turn to God's Word. We're going to read together from Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, and as you see there from the screen, verses 38 to 42. Let's read together and be blessed by God's living Word. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came in and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things. But only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." We thank God for his word, and we know he will add his blessing to it. We're going to, again, as we usually do, come to a time of prayer where we pray for the needs of our world, our land, and our own community as well. Let's come before the Lord. And as we've been encouraged to do already, to sit for these moments at the feet of our Lord and Savior. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you that, Lord, we can learn from the example, Lord, of Mary all those years ago. Lord, help us, we pray, to be willing, even now in these moments, to sit at your feet. Lord, to listen for the sound of your voice, to bring to you, Lord, the deepest cries of our hearts as we pray, Lord, for ourselves and for our land and for the world in which we live and all its need and complexity. Lord, hear us now. As, Lord, we wait upon you in your presence, that you would speak to us and that we, Lord, might talk with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, Lord, we pray now as we seek to meet with you, that, Lord, you would come and meet with us. Lord, your word tells us that if we seek you, O Lord, we shall ever surely find you. So, Father, may we be found by you in a new way tonight. May we find you in a new way this evening. As we gather around your word now and around your table later, for this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's remain seated, friends, and we'll sing our next song together. Be still, for the presence of the Lord, the Holy One, is here. Well, friends, let's turn to God's Word, believing, as we've sung, that the power of God is moving in this place. We look at these very few short verses from Luke chapter 10, and often we sort of read over these, or read through these verses, as a sort of little interlude between what has come before in the Gospel to what is going to come after. But I think we do this little passage a great deal of disservice if we do so, because it has a lot to say. One of the amazing things when you really begin to ponder and study God's Word is the richness and the depth that can be found in only a few short verses. And this would be an excellent example that we're going to look at together this evening. As we have this little sort of cameo picture of this domestic interlude, really, that we get in the life of Jesus, the ministry of Jesus, as he is invited into this home with these two women. Quite different women, as we're going to notice, Martha and Mary. And it's quite an interesting little situation. One of the things that I began to discover over many years, in particular as I was starting out, when I was going as a frighteningly young preacher, that you would go and you were invited to various churches to speak, and then you would be given gracious hospitality afterwards. And as you began to sort of get into this and become more aware of it, you began to discover that one of the things that could happen, and maybe I shouldn't say this because I don't want to get you all paranoid, but I'm going to say it because it's true. One of the things that began to happen was, as you began to get to know people, and as you went from place to place and you shared time with them in their home, you began to get a sense of the rhythm of the particular rhythm and pattern of behavior that went on in their house, and what kind of a house it was, what kind of a home it was, and you just got a kind of a vibe and a feel of what kind of home this might be. And I think we get a little sense of something of that here in this story, because we're given some little interesting bits of information that, if we pause and ponder and notice, I think they are worthy of reflection. We're told that, first of all, it was a home that was inhabited by two ladies, which was not particularly usual. One was called Martha and the other was called Mary. We're told quite definitely that Martha, she opens her home. It doesn't say that Martha and Mary opened their home. It's Martha opened her home. It's quite definite. So what does that tell us? It tells us that Martha was the householder. If you want to make it in modern terms, Martha was the one that paid the council tax. That was her job. That was what she would have done, okay? She was the householder, and she opens her home. And clearly it is implied that she is the older of the two sisters. That is suggested, and is a very reasonable one. Whether she was an older sister that had never married, or whether she was an older woman who had been married and was now widowed, we don't know. There's speculation, and the commentators divide on that one. But she's the older of the two women. They're both sisters, and her sister Mary is the younger. So we get that little bit of interesting information about them as we see the beginning of the unfolding of this story. As we see Martha and Mary at home. This is what happens, you know, since this is only behind the beautifully clipped wisteria hedge, if you have that, or the net curtains, or whatever analogy you want to use. But this is Martha and Mary at home, right? The domestic situation, the domestic scene, the stuff that goes on behind the door that no one sees at the end of a busy day. And Jesus is invited into that situation. This is an interesting question. What would Jesus see if he was invited into your home and mine? But you can ponder that one at your leisure. But that's what happens. Martha and Mary at home in their domestic circumstances, and into this Jesus comes. So that's the kind of context as the story begins to unfold. And of course, as part of this, a meal is prepared. And Martha's the householder. She's the responsible of the two. And she's doing what she has to do in the kitchen, getting it all ready. And there's Mary in the living room, in the front room, and she's listening to what Jesus is saying. She is, and the phrase is used, she is sitting at the feet of Jesus. A phrase that actually we just don't hear anymore. Because if you sat at someone's feet in the New Testament times, it kind of implied several things. It implied dependence. It implied that that person was superior to you and you were inferior. And it also implied that you wanted to learn from them as well. So there's a clear sort of statement being made there as Mary sat at the feet of Jesus. And that's why we don't really hear people using that language anymore. You might have heard it in Christian circles perhaps many, many generations ago, but not at all. And it's not part of our modern way of speaking. You don't sit at anyone's feet, because that's the humble place, that's the low place, that's the place of weakness and dependence, and that's not how we're encouraged to live and to behave. But that's what we see Mary doing. So that's the sort of context into this which we're going to be going this evening, sitting at the feet of Jesus. But it's in these little short verses that Luke invites us to reflect on and to consider three things I want to share with you now after that long introduction. First of all, to look at the barriers that prevent it. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, the barriers that prevent us from doing so. And there are two basic things that I want to just simply highlight for you. The first is in verses 39 and 40. And the first thing that prevented Martha from sitting at the feet of Jesus in comparison to her younger sister was the issue of personal temperament. These are two radically different women. One is older, one is younger. One's a householder, she's the boss, she's in charge, and the other clearly is not. But that's just a sort of superficial stuff. It would seem that these two women, they're sisters, they're related, but they are completely different in temperament. And I think that's part and parcel, is it not, of family life. We either have or have had brothers or sisters. Our brothers and sisters are often very different in temperament and character from us. Mine certainly is, I from him and he from me. And that's life, that's what it's like. And one sibling can be like this and another can be completely different. And we all know that, and that's part of our lived experience. And that's how it was for these two sisters. They were radically different. Martha, she was what we would call a doer. She was active, she was busy. She was hustling and bustling in the kitchen, banging about those pots and pans. She was practical, she was hands-on. She's up and going and get on with it. Very practical woman. But her younger sister, Mary, was completely different. She was clearly what we would call more contemplative. She was quieter, she was more reflective. She was prepared to listen to what Jesus had to say, and all this other stuff could get done by and by. She wasn't that bothered. But Martha said, no, we have to get this done. We have to get this and that and all the rest of it sorted out. And I'm the responsible person, and I've got to make the evening meal, and I've got to be the host and do all of that. And much of what she said, much of what she was thinking was probably fair enough, as far as it goes. But we see the different temperaments coming out. And we have to be aware of that. That was the barrier that prevented one of the sisters anyway from sitting at the feet of Jesus. She was so busy being busy. She was doing what she always did. Friends, could that be said of you or I this evening? That Jesus wants us to sit at his feet. That we would receive from him. That, as the hymn says, his love surrounds us and makes us complete. We need to know that. We need to receive that and experience that. But we don't, because we're so busy out and about doing this, that, and the next thing, we've got a list of things to tick off before we go to bed at night. Is that how we are? And perhaps it is because that is how we are that we're not being able to sit at the feet of the Lord and receive from him that which he wants us to receive. So sometimes just how we are gets in the way, and we have to allow the Lord to show us that and to allow him to refine us and bring us to that place where we can receive what he wants to give us. But then there's the other issue I think we see here, the second barrier, and that's the barrier of personal priorities. And let's be quite clear here. Martha's priorities are laudable. They are honorable. They are marked with grace and courtesy. She wants to be a good and a gracious and a kind and a thoughtful host. And there's nothing wrong with that. All of that is thoroughly good and thoroughly laudable, as I say. But sometimes even good priorities, good agendas, good desires, they can get in the way of sitting at the feet of Jesus. Maybe we're doing things or want to do things or are committed to doing things, and they're fine as far as they go. They're good. They might even be really wonderful, whatever it is. And the Lord has no problem with what we're doing at all. But we're so caught up in these things. We're so busy doing these things. We're so busy being busy. Even perhaps Christian, even church things. That we don't have time to sit at the feet of Jesus. And that's the priority that heaven wants us to have. Maybe not forever, but maybe for a particular season, for a particular time. And we've been so busy doing this, that, and the next thing, and all the rest of it. And our priorities have been towards all these things, and they've been good. And the Lord's saying, where's your time with me? What time do you have to sit at my feet and to receive what I want you to have? Well, that's the first thing I want to look at, the barriers that prevented Martha sitting at the feet of Jesus. Let's move on secondly to the next thing. I'll call this the behavior that reveals the importance of it. Because you know, friends, if we don't spend time with the Lord, eventually things get out of line. We go off the track. The phrase that we use back in Scotland is things get out of kilter, that things are not right. You begin to go off in another direction that's not maybe very healthy or very good. And it begins to display in how we say, what we say to people, how we behave, how we react and so on. And we see that here in two ways, and you'll find them both in verse 40. Here's the first thing that we see. It's displayed in our emotions. There's Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus and she's enjoying this and is in the kitchen and she's obviously overhearing what's going on. It wouldn't have been a big house. And she's getting more and more exasperated. And she's cleaning those potatoes with great might and main, scrubbing away at them or whatever she's doing. That sister's not come to help me. And the tension's rising. The irritation is rising. And she's thinking, well, I better not put that on display because if we've got a guest in the house, it wouldn't look good. And this is Jesus, the great prophet, the great teacher, and they're beginning to perhaps to realize the significance of who he is. And she's trying to put on a good show and a good front. And eventually she pops. She can't handle it anymore. She can't control it or keep it in anymore, and she goes into the front room and she says, come here you're not doing anything. Why aren't you helping me out? And it's displayed in her emotions, how she is, how she interacts. Yes, friends, we can all go through times like that. I have, and I'm sure you have as well. And it might just be the pressure of circumstances. It might, well, that's what it is. But it could be something else, that we are not spending time with the Lord. I remember reading one individual who does a set of Bible reading notes that I've used for many years, and he openly admitted, he said, if I don't spend time with the Lord at the beginning of the day, he says, the day doesn't go well. The day doesn't go well. Because of my reactions to people, my response to people, how I think, all the rest of it, because I've not begun the day in the right way. I'm out of line, I'm out of sorts. With other people because I've not spent time at the feet of the Lord. And that was poor Martha. She has this little outburst moment in her home. It's displayed in our emotions. And also, it secondly can be displayed in terms of disharmony in our relationships as well. Because she's really giving her sister, what we would say, both barrels. She's not holding back. She's telling her exactly what she thinks about her behavior. And there is now clearly tension in the air. We've all perhaps been in situations where we've been maybe in someone's home or in a situation and something is said or done and two people just, that's it, they just spark off and they're away. And you sort of think, oh dear, it's that situation. You don't know where to look. You want to go and hide in a corner somewhere and you just can't do it. It's really embarrassing. Well, that's the sort of context we're getting into. She's popped and now she's saying, come on you sister of mine, get yourself in that kitchen and help me out. You're not doing what you should be doing. And there's disharmony for that moment anyway in their relationship. But perhaps also it's bringing out something that's been deeper and maybe has been going on between them for years. And the moment comes when it all comes out, as we say, in the wash. It's all suddenly revealed. In this moment of disharmony between these two sisters who lived together in this house, who knows, probably for many, many years. That can happen, friends, in family life. It can happen in church life as well. Suddenly it would seem as out of nowhere. But actually, friends, these things don't come out of nowhere. You have to track them back to their source. And the source in this case is that Martha was not spending that time at the feet of the Lord. Her sister was, and she was not. And it was coming out in her emotions, and it was coming out in her relationship with her sister as well. And these two things showed that she needed to spend that time with the Lord. And then the third thing, and we'll wrap it up with this, I've called this last part the beginning of how to experience it. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, the beginning of how to experience it. And that's really what Jesus does in verses 41 and 42. Two things he does. First of all, friends, we do have to confront our temperament. And that's what Jesus does very lovingly. He says, Martha, Martha, you are worried about many things. He's saying, think about what you're doing. Think about who you are and why you are doing what you're doing. Look at yourself. But here's the important thing, friends, that when we do that, we do it in the company and presence of the Lord himself. Because that's what's happening. The Lord is turning to Martha and saying, Martha, you need to look at yourself. You need to look at who you are. You have to look at what you've been doing. But he doesn't do it in an angry, judgmental, rebuking, finger-wagging, pointing type way. No. He says, Martha, Martha. He uses her name twice, actually. And the way it's phrased, he does it in a very loving, compassionate, and understanding way. But when Jesus challenges her, he does it out of his deep love for her, his deep knowledge of her, and his deep desire that she would become the woman that he wants her to be. So he confronts her temperament. Martha, Martha, come on. This is not the way you should be. This is not how I want things to be for you. I want you to learn. I want you to learn to change. I want you to learn to allow me to shape the way that you are. Not to make you into something different. We all have to uniquely display how God has made us. But I want to refine you in order that you would become more and more the woman that I want you and that I've made you to be. You know, God's made us all different, friends. But with each of the temperaments we have, they all have a tendency to an excess of one level or another. And what we want to learn as we go on in our Christian life is to allow the Lord to identify those areas of who we are where excess is possible, and that we begin to learn to deal with that. And he begins to learn just to prune that bit off. If you're into John chapter 15, he comes with the gardener's shears and he cuts off all this stuff that's not any good to us. And we learn to become more like him, our Lord. That's what's happening here. And it begins with Jesus confronting Martha over her temperament. And then the second thing, verse 42, we have to change our priorities. Jesus is saying, Martha, what you're doing is great, but you need to change your priorities. You're so busy doing that you don't know how to be. And that's the difference, essentially, between Martha and Mary. Martha was doing, but she wasn't being. Mary knew how to be. She knew how to sit at the feet of Jesus. What does the Lord say? Martha says, Mary has chosen the better part. And then he adds, and it will not be taken from her. The things, Martha, that you are interested in and concerned about, they're good, they're valid, they're laudable. But the implication of what the Lord says is this, they are only transient, they are only temporary. And they can be taken from you. They're only here for a moment and gone. They can be taken away by the moment, by life, by circumstances, whatever. They're not forever. But what Mary has chosen, it will not be taken from her. Why? Because it is of lasting and of eternal value. You're so caught up in the things that you have to do that are practical. That can be perfectly valid. But these things, ultimately, in the big scheme of things, they don't really matter. And they will not last for time and eternity. But what Mary has chosen, it does matter. And it will last for time and eternity. So he's saying, Martha, take a leaf out of your sister's book. Come. Leave your pots and pans and all your domestic stuff in the kitchen. Leave it behind. And come into the front room and sit at the feet. Sit at my feet and join your sister. To receive the good things that God wants you to have. And what better way, friends, could we have to come to the Lord's table this evening than to take that wonderful message to our heart? Maybe you've been so busy being busy, even in Christian stuff, even in church stuff, whatever it is, and it can be all wonderfully good, but you're so busy being busy that you end up burnt out. Remember someone saying to me many, many years ago, never forgot it, he said, beware the barrenness of a busy life. You can be just too busy doing too much, and you're doing and doing and doing, and your spirit silently begins to wither within you because you have not spent time at the feet of Jesus. You have not spent time receiving from him. Because believe you me, friends, if you're going to give out, you've got to get it in somewhere first. You've got to spend time at the feet of the Lord. Whatever it is that you are doing, that you're able to give out of that place of freshness, out of that place of renewal. I've been thinking recently, and it's been coming to me a few times, about the tree planted by the river. Its leaves are always rich and lush and full of foliage. And it's not bothered about times of drought because it's always getting from the river. And it is fruitful, and it bears its fruit in the right season, in the right time. Lovely picture of what it means, friends, to be those who spend time at the feet of Jesus. Is it perhaps time for some of us this evening to take these things more seriously and to be much more intentional about it? To ask the Lord to show you if there are barriers that are preventing you from doing that, or if you know what they are, ask the Lord to help you to take them down. To look at perhaps behavior in your own life and your own attitudes and so on and so forth as you interact with people that are making it clear to you that actually you need to spend time with other people. You have to spend time, rather, with the Lord and get more time with him. Ask people that you know and you trust. Your husband or wife or a close friend, whoever it is, someone that will speak lovingly God's truth into your heart and life, and say, come on, you need to get back to that place with the Lord. And then you begin to know the experience of what it's like to sit at the feet of Jesus, to drink in, to receive from him, where his love surrounds us and makes us complete. That we can then become the men and women that God wants us to be, because we have learned the art. We have learned the wonderful, joyful experience of what it means day by day, moment by moment, to come and sit at the feet of Jesus, that we might receive from him, that we might be refreshed by him and go and bear much fruit. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for these loving, thoughtful, tender and sensitive, Lord, verses of scripture that you've given to us. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this quiet evening message and time together that we've had. Lord, as you have just lovingly come alongside us, place your hand upon us, and invited us, O Lord, to be filled afresh and to be renewed again, Lord, by you. Help us, we pray, O Lord, to make time for these things in the midst of the hustle and bustle and busyness of our daily lives. Lord, even as we come, Lord, and would sit around your table in these next precious moments, Lord, help us, we pray, to use these moments to receive, Lord, from you, to sit at your feet, as we remember again your love and your sacrifice for us, and the love that you long to bestow upon us again. So, Lord, help us, we pray, to open our hearts to your word, to open our hearts to your spirit, to open our hearts, O Lord, to the things of Jesus, as we sit at your feet and gather now around your table, as we come to you. In Jesus' name, amen. One day when heaven was filled with his praises, one day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin. Born among men, my Redeemer is he. Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. Rising, he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, O glorious day. Lord, we rejoice, Lord, in the truth of these things. that, Lord, we see with the eye of faith, that we welcome, O Lord, with longing hearts. And one day, Lord, we shall receive the fullness thereof. Lord, when sign and symbol will give way to substance, for Lord, we will be with you and we will see you as you are, and we will be like you, made perfect in every way. Till then, O God, we pray. Help us, we ask, by the power of your Spirit, Lord, to make good the vows and the promises we have made afresh before you now, as we go forth into this new week that in your grace you have bestowed upon us, that we would continue to love you, to follow you, to serve you, and to take delight in you till you come or call. For this we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, friends, let's bring our time to its conclusion. We sing our last song together. Led like a lamb to the slaughter in silence and shame. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you
and turn his face towards you, and grant you his peace this night and always. Amen.